Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sam Quinn is an NBA writer for CBSSports.com. You can see him over on CBS Sports HQ. We've been doing some hits together late at night, which has been super, super fun. He's on Twitter X, this thing, at Sam Quinn CBS. Sam, good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Bill, I never have to watch the 2024 Atlanta Hawks again, so I could not be better.
I wrote a year ago that locker room hated Trae Young and that there was an understanding and expectation in that front office, really more Quinn Snyder's coaching staff, that they might have to trade him, but they might take some time. And I got just crushed for that, which I'm accustomed to. Fast forward to now, based on what you've seen, if you're the Atlanta Hawks, Sam, after that loss last night to the Bulls and after how bad Trae was, are you building around DeJounte Murray and trying to get something for Trae Young? Are you blowing the whole thing up? What are you doing if you're advising Landry Fields in Atlanta?
Yeah, I wrote this last night, and I had it up maybe half an hour, 45 minutes after the game. You got to trade Trae Young. And I was able to have it up so quickly because, like, this is not a one night of evidence thing. This is now several years where you cannot build a decent defense with Trae Young as your point guard. Now, look, maybe the offense is so good that you deal with it. I personally don't think it is. The Trae Young DeJounte Murray partnership doesn't work. They get outscored, I think, by like 5 points per 100 possessions with both of them on the floor. Okay, maybe you try to trade Murray and do it that way, but they tried that at the deadline, and the most they could get offered was, I think the Lakers talked one pick, maybe one swap. That's not clearly enough to rebuild this entire roster. They're going to be near the luxury tax next year. There's just not a way to do this, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you can't build a championship team with Trae Young on it. I don't think that's true. If he landed in, say, San Antonio, okay, maybe you could do it if you had Wembanyama to protect him defensively. They don't really have a way to reorient this roster before the end of his contract in a way that's going to make them competitive again. I think you got to trade him. Ideally, in a perfect world, you're trading him to San Antonio so you can get your picks back and you can tank. You know, I think instinctually most teams look at a situation like this and say, oh, let's rebuild around Murray and, like, be competitive. I don't want to get on that 40-win hamster wheel. That's not the way I'm building a team. So my goal, if I were them, trade him to San Antonio, get your picks back, open up the possibility of tanking. And then if you trade Murray somewhere else, or, you know, there are a number of things you can do after that, but I just don't see it. I don't see how you can build anything close to a good enough defense with Trae Young on the team.
Sam, I hear you on the Spurs, and I've seen it out there. Let me gently push back on that and get your perspective, because I would not, and I have not been to San Antonio since Wembanyama arrived. I have no insight in the dynamics of that young man in that locker room. So this is from a distance, although I have a lot of insight into the dynamics of Trae Young in a locker room. I wouldn't want Trae Young anywhere near Wemby. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my culture or that superstar. If you're the Spurs, if you factor that in, and maybe you don't see it that way, to what degree are you interested in being in the Trae Young business?
Yeah, Bill, I think that's totally fair. I mean, the Spurs are in this pretty unique position where they have so many draft picks, they have so much cap flexibility, and they have so many good young role players that they can kind of do this however they want, right? Like, eventually you would think they're going to trade for, like, a quote-unquote sidekick type for Victor Wembanyama, but they don't have to, you know, just take the first guy that becomes available. They can afford to be picky. They have three more years of Wemby on a rookie deal. They have time. If they look at Trey and say, this isn't the guy, okay, you wait for whoever that guy is, because eventually that guy's going to become available, and eventually, I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody is going to look at Victor Wembanyama and say, that is my ticket to multiple championships. Get me to that guy. So, yeah, they can afford to be picky. The argument for taking Trey, if you're San Antonio, is look at the impact Trey Jones had when they put him in the starting lineup over Jeremy Sochan as point guard. I mean, they were getting blown out to open the season, and frankly, they finished 22-60. But when they played Trey Jones and Wemby together, they were like a pretty good team. They were something like +5 per 100. And Trey Jones is like, at least coming into this year, was not even viewed as a starting caliber NBA point guard. This was getting to the bare minimum of point guard play with Victor Wembanyama. Well, if you put Trey Young in there, suddenly you have one of the best pick and roll operators in the NBA. You have somebody that you can like kind of reorient defensive attention around, and maybe Wemby has easier shots all over the court, but especially at the rim. Like, can you imagine, Trey is one of the best lob passers in the NBA. Wemby is probably the best lob catcher we're ever going to see. I just think there would be so much room for easy baskets. It would make the offense so much easier for him. And then on the other end, like, look, if there's anyone in basketball who can make Trey Young viable on defense, it's Victor Wembanyama. So I would get it if the Spurs said, this isn't our guy. I'm just saying I do think there are arguments to do it.
Oh, I agree. I just would argue the other side. Sam Quinn, you were talking, I was thinking about how brutal the Western Conference has the potential to be next year and the years ahead. I mean, the Rockets were on a roll at the end. You've got teams like the Kings, who I think are still pretty interesting, and obviously Malik Monk is injured but won't be back almost certainly next year. But outside, I'm trying to think, outside of Portland, which is a hot damn mess, you can make a case for any of those teams being interesting. How do you see the West shaping up in the years ahead? Because not everybody can finish in the top 10. Not everybody can finish in the top 6. Who are going to be the good teams on the outside looking in over a 2 or 3 year timeline in the Western Conference?
I hate that you said except for Portland, because I'm so confused that I might have just gone with a minute on Portland. Yeah, it's tough. I think the natural instinct here is to look at the older teams, like, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Warriors, and say, well, it's probably time for them to transition out. I don't know if they see it that way. But, like, let's be realistic here. If the Lakers get 50 games out of LeBron and AD each next year instead of 70, well, that's probably worth 7 or 8 wins. And if you lose 7 or 8 wins, you're probably not in the top 10 next year. The Clippers going into next year, Paul George is still a free agent. You know, James Harden hasn't re-signed yet. I don't see a big market shaping for James Harden. But if you lose Paul George, or if your injury luck reverts to what it's been in the past, now they're looking at a significant reduction in wins. The Warriors, I think, have built enough young and talent that, like, getting from, well, they were number 10 already, so maybe it is the Warriors. I'm not sure. But the point is, like, Memphis, that roster is fully in its prime or close to its prime. Houston, those young guys are only going to get better. San Antonio, if they want to get in, they have the assets to do it. I just think the natural inclination here is, like, look, I know that we don't want to poo-poo the all-time greats in the big markets, but they're just getting old. It's that simple. And when you get old, guys get hurt. You know, role players cycle out. The team gets too expensive. So I'm going to go ahead and guess that some combination of the Lakers, Warriors, and Clippers are going to be the teams that really feel this, you know, great expansion of how good and how deep the West is.
Sam Quinn, give me your perspective, your analysis, your best guess on how you think Sixers-Knicks is going to play out starting Saturday.
I picked the Knicks. I did bet on that series, and I did bet on the Knicks. It's very close. Something that really shook me last night, as somebody who, I don't want to say has been all in on the Sixers, but has generally been supportive of them with Joel Embiid back, for like almost the entire second quarter, the Heat threw out that zone and the 76ers were totally flummoxed by it. And look, Miami's zone does that, but Miami's been playing zone in the playoffs, and really Miami plays more zone than anybody. They've been doing that for 5 years. You go into that game not prepared to handle Miami's zone, I think it's just kind of a testament right now to, I don't want to say, like, the roster isn't bad. It's just pretty limited, right? Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey are really the only consistent shot creators that they have. The Knicks have so many defensive guys to throw at those two. Tom Thibodeau is such a good defensive game planner, especially in the playoffs, that, like, look, if they had an extra ball handler, if they had a bit more of a, like, a more versatile roster, I'd feel a little bit better. But this is such a transitional period for Philly. They clearly made the James Harden trade with the idea that they were going to have cap space this summer and they were going to, you know, reshape the roster then. Right now, it's like you have two guys that you really trust to dribble and create their own shot. Tom Thibodeau's going to take that stuff away. He's going to take away the stuff that you really want to run. With Joel Embiid at less than 100%, I just don't know where the offense is going to come from. So that's why I'm leaning the Knicks. But look, Joel Embiid, I think he scored more points than he played minutes this year. If he does that in a playoff series, well, it's kind of hard to lose under those circumstances.
Sam Quinn here on Rider Than You. I'm Bill Ryder. All right, Sam, so reasonably in terms of this team could actually face the Boston Celtics in a reasonable, it's reasonable that they could face them. Who is the most likely team that can beat Boston in this postseason?
In the East or in the whole league?
In the East. Yeah, not the
Denver. Yeah, I mean, like, I think the Boston's hardest test is going to come in the finals, but okay, we'll ignore that. My instinct right now, especially with Jimmy Butler hurt, is the Knicks. Because, look, we've seen this time and time again. When the Celtics are, like, front-running, and when they're up 10, they're up 15, they're gangbusters, they're great, they're incredible. It's the problem for them comes when somebody makes them uncomfortable, when somebody punches them in the mouth, when they're played really, really physically. That's when things start to get a little bit iffy for them. And the Knicks are the team best equipped to do that, right? Like, you're going to go into that series, and OG Anunoby is immediately going to make life miserable for Jason Tatum. And they're going to play so physically, and the refs are letting teams get away with so much right now that what I suspect is going to happen is the Knicks are going to either win one of the early games or they're going to come pretty close, and the Celtics are going to look around and say, like, oh, all of a sudden this isn't easy anymore. How are they going to respond to that? Because in the past, they haven't responded well. Three of the last 4 years, they've lost in the playoffs as favorites. You know, like last year against the Heat, they were heavy favorites. The key to beating the Celtics is to get ahead on them early and to make them sweat. I think the Knicks are the team best equipped to do that. I think Jalen Brunson is the player in the East right now that's probably best equipped to, say, like, score 44 in game one and make you have a conversation like, oh, no, we don't have a great answer for that guy. Now, if Derek White and Jrue Holiday can't stop him, I don't think that anybody could, but my point is, I just think getting Boston uncomfortable is the goal early, and the Knicks are the team that is best equipped to get anybody uncomfortable. Tom Thibodeau lives in uncomfortable.
All right, Sam, it's way too early prediction time, although we do have some clarity. We know who everybody is going to be playing other than the eight seeds. Give me your conference finals, your way too early conference finals, finals, and championship prediction.
Yeah, Knicks and the Celtics in the East, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, like, Knicks Sixers, we already went over. I think it's going to be Knicks Pacers second round. I don't think the Bucks are healthy enough or cohesive enough under Doc Rivers to win a playoff series. So I'm going Knicks Celtics in the East. Nuggets, obviously, in the West. And lately, my lean on that fourth team has been the Dallas Mavericks. I think, especially given the uncertainty surrounding Kawhi Leonard, they should be favored in that series against the Clippers. And then they'd get Oklahoma City in the second round, which, look, that series go either way. I would pick it to go seven, but clearly right now, Dallas is playing probably the best of any team in the West. Their defense, I don't know how sustainable this level of defense is. They've been, I think, the best or one of the best defenses in the NBA over the past month or two. But
second,
I think there's something to be said for just being so, so big that, like, Kyrie Irving is your only small starter. Dante Exum plays a lot bigger than he is. They have so many defensive role players now. When you assume that Luka and Kyrie can, you know, kind of keep the offense going on their own, everybody else in that lineup defends. They have so many lob threats. They have so much shooting that, like, look, I think Oklahoma City, I'm not one of these people that says, like, oh, you know, they're the number one seed, but they're just because they're young and they were healthy. I do think they're a legitimate number one seed. I just think Dallas is playing better right now. So I'm going to lean on the Mavericks and say Nuggets over Mavericks, Celtics over Knicks, and then Nuggets over Celtics. We saw that matchup twice in the regular season. It kind of went the way that every Nuggets game goes, at least against a major opponent, where the Nuggets kind of play with their food for three quarters. Then we get the fake comeback in the fourth quarter where Jokic is on the bench, And, you know, the other team goes, oh, yeah, we got this. We're up two with 6 minutes to go. And then Jokic comes in. It's like, nope, you're dead. That's it. I'm just not picking against any – I'm not picking against Jokic no matter who they're playing. He's just executed too well down the stretch all year, going to last year as well. I think he's the best player in the league. I think the Nuggets are the best team in the league. And I think we're going to have a defending champion.
He is Sam Quinn. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Read him over at CBSSports.com. Follow him on the Twitter X thing at Sam Quinn CBS. Sam, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you hopping on, pal.
Absolutely, Bill. Thank you for having me. And again, no more Atlanta Hawks. Basketball season has truly begun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.